Hello and welcome to the Body Aware Living Podcast. I'm Margot Rose and I'm the author of Body Aware Grieving, a fitness trainer's guide to caring for your health during sad times. And we're here together to explore, to talk to wise and kind people from around the world. And we're finding practical ways to get through difficult times and to celebrate our accomplishments. And I'm here today with one of my favorite people in the world. Meir Wisotsky is 89 years old, and he and my father were best friends from the time they were 18 years old and going to college. And very sadly, my father passed away about 17 years ago. And so Meir is somebody I've known more than my whole life, and visiting with him here and getting this incredible wisdom from him is really special. So I just want to say hi really quick. So Meir has written a book of poetry, and it's called The Legend of the Twilight Owls, a book of poetry for the searching and the perplexed. And he's always given such great advice, so I wanted to connect and have him share with you a little bit together today.
Thank you.
There was so many jobs that you mentioned that you've done in the back of the book. I wanted to just mention them quickly, and then it says in the back of your book, you were a factory worker, a hospital executive. I've got my cheat sheet. Factory worker, hospital executive, a teacher, a counselor, an actor, a director, a writer, a musician, a salesman, an entrepreneur, a manager, a bricklayer. You were a soldier in the Korean War, and you were a paperboy. So you really
a lot of jobs.
A lot. You can really do a lot at 89 years when you put your mind to it.
Yeah, I think one of the aspects of living as long as I've lived is that you start to think about what am I going to be leaving? Because obviously, I've done a lot in my life. And so one of my goals has been to see if I can pass on all of the understanding and the lessons that I have learned about life to anybody who could use them, because I really feel a sense of connection with human beings and with people who are going through the same thing as I went through. And I can tell you from experience that I've made every mistake you could almost make, but I still feel that that has not been a bad thing. It's been an interesting and a learning thing for me.
That makes a lot of sense. You've also done a lot of things right in your life, and including I want to get to talking about some of your romance advice, because you've been with your current wife, Mariel, who's done this incredible artwork in all of your projects, including this book. And you guys have been together how many years now?
43 years.
43 years.
Right.
I know when I've needed romance advice, you've always given great suggestions and great advice. Well, let's get straight into that. Why don't we start with where we are?
What
are some of the key things, just really the nuggets of what you think people who want to build good relationships, love-based relationships, including romance, but not necessarily only romance, what's like your nugget of truth that you think people could learn from?
Basically, I believe that people have to be willing to share their essence, those secrets that they've kept all their life, that could have been from when they were a child, and they're not telling anybody any of this, and suddenly they get an opportunity to be in love with someone, and the loving demands that they give them this inside information. And I think that's where people get fouled up, is because if they don't give them this kind of full essence knowledge of them, they don't have the relationship that they want. They're not with their soulmate. They're just with another person.
So some of sharing parts of yourself that are very, very, that the deep, deep intimacy is going to come from that courage.
Right.
Of sharing parts of yourself, even if it's the parts that you for whatever reason, don't normally share with
exactly.
other people.
And this is the person who, no matter what you tell them, will accept it as part of your life. I'm not going to judge you on it. I'm not going to condemn you for it. I'm going to just absorb it as that's what you went through before, because now you have changed. You've met me, and now we can make our lives together. And that's the way I've been relating to my wife for the last 43 years.
Well, if it's been working for 43 years, you guys do have a very sweet relationship. I appreciate that so much. And And again, having known your wife for all these years, 43 years, most of my life, I wanted to touch on this idea that I feel when I'm with you and you know so much about our family, this idea of like chosen family and the idea that you can really pick who you want to be intimate with, not just in romance, not just in friendships. You can sort of, some people still have a birth family, the family they were born with, and those people are great. They get along. Other people, you know, never got along that well or felt supported by their birth family. And then there's other people that had a birth family, but they're not close now through having lived in different locations or people pass away.
Right.
But the idea of like, you've said to me sometimes like, oh, I see you like a daughter.
Right.
And I see you like an uncle. And this idea that you can choose who you want as your group of people.
And the thing is that we tend to use the birth model as a model that we talk about, like, I see you as an uncle. Mm-hmm. You don't have to see me as an uncle. You can see me as a person who is who he is. And that's a hard one, because the nice thing about picking the people that you want to relate to doesn't have to be the same model as what the family is, but even a higher model in terms of, now I'm picking someone who I personally have all this understanding and respect and relating to, and it's all just us together. It doesn't matter if we, you know, there's relationships that are, you know, birth relationships or not. And so I think that's one of the important aspects.
So we don't even have to, these super important people that we can choose in our lives and choose to share intimacy with, whether or not we're lovers specifically, it's just that we don't even have to model a traditional nuclear birth family.
Exactly.
To consider that a valuable relationship.
It's like everybody wants to be like something else. Well, meaning that you take something else as the standard. Uh-huh. And I don't think you have to do that with friendship and with love. I think that can be totally, and you know, you can even love things in that same manner, that you're expressing some kind of understanding with what this thing or this person is, and then you're taking that into your inner self and having it as part of you. I like to think of the real family of people that you live with, but people that you respect and people that you are now sharing. And that's the key, is that you're sharing your life with them, which makes that your life much more relevant and much more sacred.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with everything you're saying, and I've always appreciated it. And we were connecting yesterday, and you said something that just blew my mind, and I wanted to include it in today's discussion with people. I went through one of the really hardest times in my life, and you were there in person experiencing me, and I have no recollection of this moment. One of the absolute worst traumas of my life was, and just for people that are specifically triggered around the topic of suicide, just to let you know, that is part of this topic that we're going to mention right now. But I had a romantic partner pass away, die by suicide, during a really hard time, because we were about to move together to go take care of my mother, who had cancer that turned out to be eventually terminal. So my mother's sick with cancer. I'm about to move from one state to another state to go help take care of her. And the person who I was in love with and about to be partnered with and about to go move with died by suicide the week that we were leaving, so theoretically together. And my dad came up to visit me right after that happened. And I did not know this, but you came to visit me, but my dad had told you not to discuss this experience that I had just been through. So you were, tell me what my dad told you? I mean, that's just incredible.
He told me that you, what had happened, and everything was still a mystery about what was going on. Nobody knew exactly. Yeah. And he said, don't mention this to her, because he knew that you were very upset. And So I went over and was talking to you and was relating to you, and the issue never came up other than the statement that he was dead and that you were not going to be moving with him. That was it. But beyond that, it was, we were just talking about what was happening to us at the time, getting coffee, you know, just talking. And this is something that you didn't remember at all.
I was completely, this is sort of the essence, I'm going to take this off. This was sort of the essence of body aware grieving. This is where body aware grieving started. The fact that I could be functioning, you were saying, oh, you went and got us a cappuccino and you came, I just, the fact that I was functioning that week, when I'd been so traumatized, and it's just a complete disconnect between what was really happening and what I was doing to function. So I'm glad that I could be functional because I survived that experience. I unpacked, I packed up an apartment. I rented a rental truck. I'd never driven a rental truck. I drove to a different state. I mean, I did all these things in a haze.
Right.
When you said, what did you say? You said I was really like checked out? What, yes. How did you describe myself? Like,
I think you were in a different plane, a different aspect of reality, and you were not going to deal with the other part of what was happening to you. This is not uncommon for people who have real traumatic experiences. And I remember my granddaughter had a similar situation when she was somewhere around 8 or 9. She came to stay with me. I was living in Oregon at the time. And she stayed for a couple of weeks, and then I sent her back. As she grew up, later on, after she was an adult, I asked her about it. She didn't remember anything at all about that time. My granddaughter went through some rough times because my daughter was had a lot of problems. But the thing was, that was an era that she didn't want to remember at all from the day-to-day reality, and she had made up some other kind of reality for it. I think that's very common with people who have problems that they can't solve. If you can't solve a problem, what do? Well, I just forget that the problem exists, and bingo, I can still function. Well, I think the body does that.
The fact that we can shut down such enormous parts of our brain and get through hard times is on the one hand sometimes convenient and necessary and a survival tool, but I mean, that's the sort of complete core essence. I invented this whole concept of body aware grieving at that moment during that experience. I mean, actually, while we're here, let me just tell this story really quickly. As I was unpacking that, you know, rental vehicle with everything that I'd brought, I didn't know where to go and stay because whatever, too many details. But when I had this huge package of Saran wrap, this big restaurant sized thing of Saran wrap, because I was wrapping up some things to store. And this big roll of Saran wrap with the metal edges fell off of what I was, off of this thing I was trying to use. And it ended up slicing about half an inch on my wrist. And so I looked down at my wrist and my wrist was bleeding. And I was like, I realized I'd been in such a daze, even though I was functional, I was not functional enough to the point where now I had my wrist was bleeding. And it was right next to my vein, and I just was like, stop, stop. I was like, no matter what I'm going through, if I'm not paying more attention than this to what my body's actually doing, I'm in danger. And my first question to myself was, well, is it my intention to survive this? And I realized it was. It was just a hard time, but I had every desire to just get through to the better times, but that was the moment when I was like, oh, body aware grieving, that I have to keep track of what I'm doing physically, no matter what I'm going through emotionally. Yes. And that I can't have that disconnect where, anyhow, that's really the core moment. And I didn't realize that, anyhow, that's just part of our history. And when you mentioned that yesterday, I was just shocked that.
Well, as we were talking about yesterday also, is the body is and the mind are not joined all the time.
Apparently, yeah.
and the mind seems to have the ability to manipulate reality, where the body is always tells the truth.
The body always tells the truth. That has to be one of our shareable quotes from yes. this interview. Absolutely. The body always tells the truth. That's beautiful.
And I think that's what was happening at that time. And I can imagine in my own life many times when that was the case, and I had to start thinking. I remember with a hammer, I missed what I was hitting, and I hit my hand, and I immediately went into a shock. And I said, wait a minute. You just said, hit your hand. It wasn't like, you know, it hurt, but I didn't have to go into shock on it. And in my mind actually told the body, cool down. You know, you're not hurt that bad. Take it easy. And the reality was that it finally, the mind and the body were working together. And I didn't go into shock. I didn't faint. I didn't, you know, everything worked out okay. So I think there is a process that the body, you know, just tells what's happening, but the mind makes up stories about it. You know, the mind seems to embellish it with whatever they think should be embellished.
Well, that's part of what we're exploring here with the whole body we're living idea is. It's just exploring what we have influence over.
Right.
And who we have influence over of wanting to be near and having influence over ourselves between the mind and the body and how to make sure there's not such a big disconnect that you're, you know, functioning without awareness and how to get the support team of people around you that you
right.
have power over the support team of people that you're choosing. And I know a half hour is going to go by really, really quick, and we like to try to keep these to half hour, but I had also a really special experience with your book. I have a friend who I read one of your poems to
yeah.
that it just touched him so deeply. I have this friend I've known since high school, and he had experienced something so hard where after a breakup of his marriage, his ex found sort of a way to make sure that the children didn't want to visit with him. She, even though he'd been close to his kids in the divorce, anyhow, he ended up not being close to his children and not being part of his children growing up because of something that happened as a fallout from this divorce. And
right.
I never knew what to say to him because that seemed like such an inconceivable suffering. To not raise your own children who you love and know you're not getting that time back. It just seemed like one of the worst things that a person could
yeah.
go through. So I was reading your book. One of those poems says exactly that topic. And I read him this poem. If you want to share this
poem. I will certainly share this poem. Let me get my glasses here. Because I had gone through a similar, very bad divorce and with two sons. Mm. The name of this poem is Two Sons. I have two sons who don't talk to me because their pain is deeper than their understanding. They were pawns in a marital chess game, sacrificed to protect a queen or a king. Now they wander in a world of misunderstanding, unable to heal the sorrow, unable to enjoy the belonging that they long for, unable to know their place as adults in an adult world. How can I help them? How can I try if in their eyes I am the reason for their discontent? I have two sons, but they don't have me.
That line, I have two sons, but they don't have me, it just went straight to my heart, even though I've experienced no version of anything similar, but it made me think of this friend. And I said, hey, it's a really tender topic, but can I send you a copy of this poem? And he felt really uplifted by that. He felt an empathy that he wasn't alone in his experience. And I just think that that's really the magic of art. I think the magic of whatever kind of art is that it can go through and show so much support and love. It can make us not go crazy. It can make us not feel crazy. We can express sort of a love and an intimacy through art, music, drama, photography, poetry. And I just really wanted to let you know that you helped that man that day a lot.
And wow, glad to see that.
Yeah, and you helped me because I didn't know what to say that would, you know, you always take a chance when you're, I didn't know how he was going to respond, if it was going to make him feel worse. Who knew what he was doing that day? He might have been having a great day. And then here's this poem about this worst experience of his life, one of the worst experiences of his life. But he felt very, very not alone.
Good, yeah. Because that was the intent of my, right, when I wrote this book, after I'd been writing poems for many, many years, What I was trying to do was to say, people, I've gone through some of this stuff. I can give you some help in terms of your own life, because it's all of us are going through the same kinds of things. And if anyone is interested, by the way, I write at least 3 poems a week, and I send out my weekly poems. Mm-hmm. And if you would like to join that, I'd be more than happy to put you on my list, and you could get that kind of understanding of the world through my poetry. Or you could even get this book.
we'll have a link to the book for sure, because I know I really enjoyed it, and I enjoy all the artwork that your wife designed. But it's true, you have this email list where every week you send out these poems to your friends. You're just maybe this is also part of being 89 years old, is that you're really making sure there's poems from decades, and you send out 3 poems a week. And what is the main reason you do that? What's the main pleasure you get from that?
Well, the thing is that as the book is described, it's my life and my understanding and how I solve the problems of living as long as I lived. It's not an easy task to live all these years and have all those things happen to you, and still you end up realizing that this is the only life I had to live, and I've got to live it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what when I came to the point where I realized I was getting close to death, because at 89 years old, you're not going to live too much longer. I'd like to live longer, but no, it's okay. But the reality is, You can actually do something, and that something is what I did. I took my understanding, and I said, I'm going to put this out there for people to see it, and if it can help them, I feel it's like you planted a tree, you left something, and it would last for a long time.
Yeah, well, that's what it's like to get a little email from you every week, and sometimes I just save those emails to where I can really, it's a busy week, and I don't like open them up until I have time to think and be peaceful and concentrate. Like I guess that's kind of what it's like for art sometimes. It can sort of take you out of the sort of bric-a-brac of daily thought.
Exactly.
And you want to give it some moment where you're like, this is beautiful. This moment's beautiful, and I want to pay attention to it. I don't want that out of body. I'm here, but my function is here. I don't want to read something while I'm chattering away mentally about whatever was going on. So, like, I really, that's how I treat that that email and those poems. I wait until I really am ready to just sink in, and they're short, and so I can just sink in and spend a few minutes and appreciate your wisdom when I can't talk to you directly. And what is one wish that you have for our, you know, body aware living people? What's one wish or piece of advice that you want to share with them?
Well, I think that everyone has the obligation to try to survive. This is the key to reality. No one asked to be born. No one understood, you know, what was going to happen to them once they got born. Yet, in the end result is you become responsible for your life, whether you had, you know, were asked to give it or not. Mm-hmm. And so I think the one thing I could say to you, to everyone out there, is become the expert of your life by seeing how you connect to all the other people in the world, how you connect to other people who are having similar experiences. And in that way, you can have a sense of being part of something so much bigger than you. And I think that is the kind of thing that keeps you understanding why survival is so important. Mm-hmm.
So as part of what you're saying, that no matter what you're going through, there's a community for you.
Absolutely.
No matter what you're going through, no matter which favorite thing you love doing, whether it's your favorite hobby and your favorite joyful moment or your favorite kind of arts that you like doing, there's a community for you. And if you've been through what you think is an inconceivable loss that nobody else could possibly understand, there's actually a community for you too.
No question about it. You've hit it right on the head. That's the place that you want to be, where you know that there are other people who you can share with who understand. And that's the key. Unless you've gone through this, you don't understand it. And that's what you got to keep in mind. And you got to look for them. It doesn't come easy. You got to say, I got to search for these folks if I can't find them readily, and then see what I can get. And I think that what you asked me before about what is it that you can do that makes you understand that someone else understands you is you can give them something of your insides, of your essence, and see how they react to it. And if they just brush it off and say, this is ridiculous, you'll know that's not a person that you're going to be relating to. Mm-hmm. And if someone says, I understand that, and good gives you something back of them, mm-hmm. you are now in this process of sharing lives that you would never have shared if you were just alone.
Yeah. I think all that is just super powerful. People are going to feel like no matter what they're going through, no matter what they've been through, no matter what they want, no matter what they like, no matter where they are, especially now we have so much, the internet just opens everything up, and the past couple years, everyone's gotten better at the internet. And so no matter what, everybody can find people who are going to be making their life richer, and no matter what, they always have something to offer other people who right. want to know them, they want to see them, they want to... Everybody wants what you have to offer. I mean, everybody has something to offer, and there's somebody who wants what you have to offer, whatever that is. And no matter who you are, and no matter who you like being around, even if it's a few people, few special, special people, like the introverted people, like I've gotten more introverted actually these past couple years. And as I've gotten older, I've surprised myself, but that whether you want a few people that you get really, really, really close to, or whether you want some people, maybe more, we would call them extroverted, like having lots of people they know at least a little bit of. But there's always a way for each of us to get what we want in a way of being connected, especially the moments when it doesn't seem like it's possible, it's still possible. And so I knew half an hour was going to go by super quick, and here we are. We're going to have everything about your book will be in the show notes. People, what's the email address? And we'll put this in the show notes, but people can email you and just for free, just like me, you can be part of Mayor's family. If you want to be part of Mayor's family,
right?
You can just be on his weekly email list.
Right. If you're ready, here it is. Got your pencil handy?
Pencil.
Pencil, anything.
There's probably people under 30 who don't even know what a pencil is. They're probably just like, is there an app for that?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Get your pencil ready.
Well, in the old days, we had symbols. We had symbols that meant something like a pencil.
I'm sorry. Okay. So get your pencil ready.
Here we go. Wise Wood Carver. That's me. wisewoodcarver@gmail.com.
All right. Well, we'll have...
And make the title, if you wish, Poetry List.
Poetry List. wisewoodcarver@gmail.com. We'll have it written here if you like links. And if your pencil's not handy. We're going to have the link for the book as well. And we were just... At the last minute, we were saying... that you might even be available if people want to contact you one-on-one or as a couple, if people wanted to have some kind of coaching, or like if they wish they had an uncle like you, or an uncle, oh, we don't have to call you an uncle. If they wish they had access to like a wise, comforting person,
man, yes.
A wise, comforting man like you, that you'd even let people contact you individually and have like some coaching?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm open to leave whatever I can in the world. If I can make it, if I can make a difference in terms of anybody's life, good or bad, I'm ready to do that. That's my mission in life now.
Oh my goodness. So if you wish you had a mayor in your life,
right?
He's available.
Just give me a call.
Yeah. Well, or give me email, and then you guys will get in touch with each other, and you'll figure out, you know, what would you ask mayor? What would you want him to say? What would you be curious about? What would you ask him? What would you want him to tell you about you? Which life issues are you going through that you said, I wish my so-and-so was here to give me advice. Well, if your so-and-so isn't there to give you advice, mayor is, and we're lucky to have him. So thank you so much. It's been
You're so welcome.
Fun. And and we will talk with you guys all soon. Thank you so much for being part of the Body Aware Living community and podcast. And best wishes to you, Margo Rose.